The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, the fastest hour in radio. Before we get into our final segment with Jason Peter, our weekly Under the Helmet segment, we want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com, and you can email us at info@eradiosports.com. Of course, each and every week, this segment is brought to you by our friends at Mercer Well Service. And Jason, it's great to have you on with us this weekend.
Good to be here. How you doing, E?
I'm doing great, Jason. It's always a pleasure to have you on with us. And we've got a number of key storylines that we want to talk about. First, let's delve into the NFL. It was a big week for the 2013 Super Bowl champions, the Ravens. They were at the White House. And I was visiting with my husband and I said, you know, I don't think I've ever talked to Jason about, you know, winning three national championships. I know that you guys go to the White House. What was that experience like for you back in 94 and 97? Because you didn't go, what, in 95?
Yeah, we didn't go in 95, and I can't remember exactly why. Maybe it was the time of the year, and Coach Osborne felt like, hey, listen, most of you guys were kind of on this trip last year. I don't know for sure, but it was, you know, growing up on the East Coast in New Jersey, you always took those kind of day trips throughout elementary school where you went to Washington, D.C., and you went to the Capitol and you did all that stuff. So there was familiarity in it, but then, you know, being there in the same room as the president and you see how the Secret Service is working, and it was a fun trip. I mean, we went twice, like I said, 94, 97. I think President Clinton was the president for both of those trips, and I don't know if he, let's say, enjoyed it as much as maybe the president currently when Baltimore was there earlier in the week. I think this president probably likes, you know, to be around kind of famous people, athletes, celebrities, maybe more so than Bill Clinton did back when he was actually president. Now, so I think you see him because a lot of it is the fundraising and stuff that he's doing outside of the White House. But, yeah, President Obama, I think he probably spent maybe more time with the Ravens than, let's say, Clinton did with us. But there is a photo of myself and Bill Clinton sitting in the house. But there is the sign that says, by no way means this mean I'm a Democrat.
You know, I've always wondered what it would be like as an athlete to go to the White House and to meet the president. I mean, as you reflect on that experience, and I'm sure one day you'll share that with your daughters, what impressed you the most about it? I mean, you said it was brief, as for obviously with meeting President Clinton at the time, but...
With President, when we went in 94, it was just, you know, I was a freshman. And I was just a guy who was kind of along for the ride. I didn't contribute in the same way that starters did. And so you just, you know, my brother was there, and obviously he was a starter at the time. But it seems like maybe the older that the guys got, maybe the more they appreciated it. Along with a bunch of the other young guys, were thinking, you know, we're going to get back here again, you know, because we've helped win a championship. And but yeah, it's neat. I mean, it's you know, when you tell people you're going to the White House or you're going to meet the president, it's something that, you know, most Americans, most people never get to experience. So you're talking about the most powerful man in the world, and it's you know, even now sometimes it was, you know, this picture that I have with Clinton, it was in a box, and my wife was going through the box and she said, you have a picture with President Clinton. I'm like, yeah. She's like, how is this not up in, you know, on one of our tables?
Yeah.
I said, I don't know. I just, you know, I'm not a Democrat, so it stays in the box.
But you know, Jason, when you're that age, you know, you just take things for granted. I mean, I remember, like, you know, folks play, oh, you play ball at Oklahoma and you're on a full scholarship. I'm like, yeah, I expect it to be, you know, I put in the time and the hard work. And now when you look on that and being a parent, you know, it's not that easy to be able to do that on a Division I level.
Yeah, I think, you know, at least in my life, I look back and I think you regret certain things or take for granted a lot of things. I know just with my time at in Carolina, where, you know, you're around so many great players and you get a chance to meet so many great people. And there were certainly opportunities when you could take a ball, in my example, Reggie White lockered right next
yes.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I had an entire season to grab a autograph ball and say, hey, Reggie, could you sign this for me? And you always think, I'll get it done tomorrow, or he'll be around, or I'll get a chance to get him to sign it another time. And then, you know, before you know it, he dies, and there is no opportunity to go back and get something like that. And, you know, there's many examples like that, I think. And I think it doesn't have to just be in the sports world, but I think just in general, lots of times people take those moments for granted, and chances are you might never get that opportunity again.
We are talking to one of the all-time greats at the University of Nebraska, a three-time national championship that he won there under the leadership of head coach Tom Osborne. Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. And let's transition now. Let's talk about, hey, you know, the countdown is on. The start of the college football season will be here before you know it. And I know there are some head coaches that are on the hot seat right now. I think about the Big 12 Conference. We always hear such wonderful things about the head coach of Texas, Mack Brown. But he has got to find a way to get it done this year, doesn't he?
I think so. I think people have got to be fed up at this point. Mack can recruit. I mean, there's no second guessing that. You know, this I've known since my younger brother was recruited in North Carolina, and that was where Mack was at the time. And North Carolina was never big factor in the college football scene, but here North Carolina has worked its way into competition with the Ohio States and the Notre Dames and the Nebraskas at the time back in the 90s, and I think he's continued to do that everywhere that he's gone, and at Texas as well. I don't think there's ever been a shortage of talent at Texas. You know, when players stop coming, then you certainly have a situation and a problem, but I don't think that's the problem. I think it's the execution, it's the leadership, whatever it may be, it's not working. And when you're paid the amount of money that Mack is paid, people expect results. They really do. It's a results-based business, and, you know, you're getting paid $5.5 million a year, you got to produce.
What about in the Big Ten Conference? Who do you see perhaps a coach that might be on the hot seat?
Well, it's a name that comes up every year. And every year, the results are there for the guy to be fired, but somehow or another, he keeps his job. That's Kirk Ferentz. I don't know if it's the job his agent does, who probably deserves a raise or at least a bonus every year from Coach Ferentz, because Kirk's name comes up every time there's a big opening, whether it be college or NFL, and it's usually in the NFL. Kirk Ferentz's name is always floated out there as a potential replacement, and I just scratch my head and I think, really? Why? You know, what is on the resume that is so great that would make you say, I want this guy to lead our program or our franchise? I don't know why Iowa continues to pay his salary. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's getting $4 million a year. You know, last year they went 4-8. The year before that, they went 2-10.
Well, he must have a long-term contract because the buyout's got to be pretty sizable, right?
The buyout, I'm sure, and let me just go back. In 2011, they didn't go 2-10. They went 7-6, but still, it's, you know, there are years in there where
yeah.
winning, you know, four or five games, and it's just not good. I know they, you know, you go back a bunch of years, they were in the Orange Bowl. I can't remember if they won that game or not, but, you know, there's just, you pay a guy $4 million a year, I would expect results. And a lot of Iowa people, they're all right with it. You know, and it's hard, I guess, it's the state that borders Nebraska, and you have just such two different philosophies, where one at Nebraska, it's, you know, we're trying to win championships, or at least that's the fans' mindsets. Those are the expectations, that we expect to win conference championships, and hopefully you're playing for a national championship. Certainly they haven't sniffed that type of success lately. But then you have Iowa, where people just are happy to go to the game, and hopefully the guys try hard, and you know, the program is in decent shape. I guess Kirk Ferentz has good relationship with some of the donors, and they're satisfied.
Well, it sounds like they're a lot more loyal and willing to wait.
Well, that's, I guess, a rarity today.
It is.
The coaches, they're not getting paid the $250,000 that Tom Osborne was getting paid, you know, after winning three national championships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you put that to get that kind of run together nowadays, you know what you get? You end up getting a Nick Saban who's getting, you know, $6 million a year. That's just the reality of the business. But, yeah, Kirk, I think, you know, he's certainly on the hot seat, no matter how much the fan base may like him in Iowa.
Well, the other guy that we have not talked about, and he probably is at the top of the list, of course, is Lane Kiffin. And so perhaps we'll have to get into that next week, Jason Peters. So
we can only cross our fingers when it comes to Lane.
Oh, I know. He's one of those guys that, yeah, that's like a half-hour conversation, right?
Yeah.
Well, listen, have a great weekend, and we will catch up next week, okay?
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead. Right now, join us online at eradiosports.com and also be sure and check out all of Jason's stuff at jasonpeter.com. We will be right back.
The work of FCA can be summed up in four words: coaches, campus, camp, and community. The four C's are vital in fulfilling FCA's vision of seeing the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of athletes and coaches.
Hi, folks. Elissa Walker Campbell here to tell you about our good friends at Mercer Well Service, who pride themselves on integrity, leadership, and complete customer satisfaction in the oil and gas industry. They truly understand what it takes to be successful. In fact, they've been providing outstanding completion and workover rig services for over 50 years. One of the key components and reasons that they have been able to have such longevity is their exceptional staff and experienced personnel to assist you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mercer Well Service also provides a full line of completion and workover rig services that include 158 rigs and have 25 swab units. Did you know that Mercer Well Service yard locations include Cleburne, Jacksboro, Kilgore, Whitesboro, and Sweetwater, Texas, among many others? And they are equipped with mud pumps, mud tanks, hydraulic catwalks, pipe racks, and rig supervisors. Why not give them a call today at 940-668-5147. Mercer Well Service. Call them at 940-668-5147.
Elissa Walker Campbell is on the air,
asking the questions you want to know,
with sport's biggest and best names, Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle.
And one of the ways you get high percentage threes is to get offensive rebounds and toss them back out. And if we don't get those rebounds, they're going to get them and toss them back out.
Now, rebounding is a massively important stat.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Elissa Walker Campbell.
It is time to rejoin our exclusive interview with Bill Ingram of USA Today, the senior reporter with Hoops World.
Well, we're very excited. The next segment we want to talk about as far as your brand new book that's just been released. It is titled Life is a Mindset. You don't have to be born rich to be wildly successful. And always as a courtesy when we do book reviews on our radio show, I always want to know, what is the inspiration behind this book? What led you to come to this decision to write this book?
Well, I think it's, you know, a lot of people have ideas or they can do things well, but they don't know how to make money at it or how to be successful with those sorts of things. And I was very fortunate because my dad always taught me from a very young age that life is a mindset, that life is what you make of it. And if you have a positive approach, you have a different way of life than if you have a negative approach. And you know, Yoda was something he'd point to and say, you know, in Empire Strikes Back.
Now you're talking my son's language. He loves that.
So between my dad and Yoda, I start the book with the line that the older I get, the smarter my parents get. And it's exactly that, because my dad would tell me things as I was growing up, and sometimes, oh, he's old, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Then as I got older, I realized, God, everything he ever told me was exactly right. And so my dad always worked for himself. He owned a chain of retail stores when I was growing up, books and teacher supplies. And then he became a financial manager and had clients that, you know, he did financial investing and that sort of thing. But he always did it his own way and did it for himself. And it taught me that you don't always have to be under someone else's thumb. You don't always have to be clocking in at 8 and clocking out at 6 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sacrificing family, sacrificing just life in general, to doing something you don't like. So many people do things that they don't like to do because it's for the money. But what if you could do something you like to do and make money doing it? Mm-hmm. And so my partner, Amal Shaw, who we co-authored the book, he was talking about this Reed philosophy. If you're relentless, enthusiastic, ambitious, and disciplined, you can accomplish anything. And I thought that summarizes what my dad has always taught me. Set your sights on a goal, don't take no for an answer, and work harder than everybody else to get it. And that's ultimately how Hoops World went from being two of us starting a little NBA website to being part of USA Today Sports, is because we saw the way the NBA was being covered and we thought this can be done better, and we're going to work every day to do it better, and we're going to eventually, you know, understanding that eventually that would pay off, and eventually it did. So it took a while. You know, I tell people are like, oh, you get to work with the NBA, like, well, it's not like somebody just handed us the keys to the website and said, go. We had to work tirelessly. We had to be relentless, enthusiastic, ambitious, and disciplined. We had to, you know, we're both working other jobs. My partner was a TI guy, and I was teaching during the day and doing games at night and getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep most of the time just to continue pushing Hoops World forward to get to the point where we are, to where USA Today wanted to make us a part of their company. So.
And Bill, it really was an amazing journey. It took 10 years to get to this level. And one of the stories that I want you to share too, that you talk about in the book, is you were just highlighting as far as your relationship with your dad. He's been such a guiding influence and force throughout your life. But when you brought him here to the AAC and you took him center court, I mean, it's very special.
When we got our first big check, to where I could retire from teaching and just focus on covering the NBA, my dad came in, and I had him, you know, we do a lot of video with players and stuff, and I always have someone shooting video for me, and I was like, just come, you know, come down and shoot video for me and let him kind of see what we do, go in the locker room and see, like, he met Shaquille O'Neal one time, and that was something he told people. He's not a big sports guy, but he's like, everybody knows who Shaquille O'Neal is, so he'll tell people, this is my son, he introduced me to Shaquille O'Neal, you know. But I took him down to midcourt, and as you know, having a credential that gives you access to midcourt is a very rare air down there. Mm-hmm. I took him and we stood on there and I said, I want you to know the reason that we are standing here right now is because of you. Mm. Because you taught me when other people would say, oh, you should just take the safe route, get a nice job with benefits, you know, retire at 65 and all that. My dad said, well, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But I know you and that's not what you want to do. What you really want to do is, you know, write and do these things. And he said, so if you want to settle for choosing something you don't really like doing, just so you have the job and the security, blah, 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 which there's no security really anymore. But he said, I'll support you in doing that, but you should chase your dreams. You should decide exactly what you want to do and chase it until you're successful, because with the kind of determination that you have, you will be successful in anything you do. And on the days where I felt like I could not, you know, getting up at 6 and going and teaching all day and then have a couple hours to eat and maybe get a run in and then come back down to the arena. And there were days where, you know, through 10 years, there were a lot of times I was like, man, I don't know how much longer I can do this. And he would say, look at all the progress you've made. Now this has happened, that's happened, this has happened, this has happened. You know, you guys are credentialed for the All-Star game now, which used to be a big deal. Now it seems like they let everybody in there. They had people go in there asking about comic book characters and stuff. But when we first got credentialed for the All-Star game, it was very, very hard to get those credentials. And so he would point out the milestones to me and encourage me and say, keep going, look at how far you've come. keep going. And so we would keep going. And obviously, it paid off.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, when you're going through that journey and you're taking a difficult path, you're always going to have, as you talked about in the book, that white noise. And you're going to have the naysayers and the critics. And they're like, what are you doing? They really don't understand where you're trying to go with your dream. And it sounds like your father was the one that encouraged you the entire way and continues to do so.
He was. And he continues to be the brightest spot. I mean, you know, when I talk about my best friend, I have several best friends. Mm-hmm. But my dad is the one who has always been there. He's that person I can just tell anything to, whatever is going through my head, whatever crazy idea. And he never judges. He's always very supportive. You know, even stupid stuff, I can tell him, man, I did this stupid thing. He'd be like, oh, that's too bad. But, you know, here's what you learned from that. You know, he's always got a positive spin for things. And so, he's been I really do, when I think about the success that I've had and what my mindset is for my life, it's so much because of the things that he taught me growing up and the way that he's continued to support me to this day.
So what was that day like? And when you got that phone call or it was the email in terms of Hoops World teaming up with USA Today, that was powerful.
It was. The first one was when we, in 2004, we teamed up with a new company that was looking to build a four sport kind of thing. And we were the first one they wanted to acquire. Mm-hmm. And so I got a check that allowed me to buy a house. So that was the big one, going and I didn't pay the entire house off, but making a huge down payment on the house and sticking a bunch of money in savings and that sort of thing. That was a big moment. That was the big payoff moment. USA Today, it's more of a notoriety thing more than, you know, the sports industry is kind of, no one's really sure what to do with it. Even Mark Cuban will tell you, how do you monetize the internet? I don't really know. He's got some interesting ideas, but even Mr. Entrepreneur isn't exactly sure how to do it. So we're still waiting to see what USA Today is going to, what we're going to do with them. But the first one where, you know, it was like, here come, you're going to fly to New York and we're going to sign contracts and here's a check and you're going to go. That was, you know, there were a lot of people that I didn't then call people and say, see, but there were people in my mind that I thought, I'm just going to put this out there and let, not in a na 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 kind of way, but just in a, oh, by the way, guess what happened at work today? And it was great. It was really good.
Of course, the title of Bill Ingram's book, it is Life is a Mindset. You don't have to be born rich to be wildly successful. And tell all of our listeners and our viewers where they can go and get a copy of this.
Well, it's on Amazon.com, and you just look up the title, Life is a Mindset. And I want to emphasize something that, sure, you know, the book is not super thick. You might actually read this. Our goal in writing the book was to write something that if I handed it to a high school student, which we go and speak to high school students, we speak to college athletes, we speak to pro athletes. If I hand them this book, in fact, one AT&T executive, when we met with them a couple weeks ago, said, wow, I might actually read, thank you, I might actually read this book. I've been in all these seminars where I get 300-page books, and I'm never going to read those. When I retire, they'll be in boxes and shipped to my attic or whatever. And the idea is to give you something that you can actually use right away. What does it mean to be relentless? It's one thing to say, hey, be relentless. What does that mean? Break it down in very clear terms. And I use both references from our journey with Hoops World to famous people. People like, I like to use fictitious people because I'm big into movies. So Marty McFly,
oh, yes,
who could play guitar, but oh, I just don't know if I should. But went back and had a chance to rework things and then had the ability to be successful. Clint Eastwood, who never wanted to be an actor, but was discovered when Wagon Train was filming an episode at a fort in Southern California where he was a lifeguard and said, hey, that guy looks, he should be an extra for us. Now he's a cultural icon. Oprah Winfrey, who had an idea when she was dirt poor living in the sticks of Mississippi that she might want to do a little radio. Now she's Oprah Winfrey. What else needs to be said? J.K. Rowling, who obviously the Harry Potter books, living on the British equivalent of welfare. You talk about all these people who had nothing. All the examples that we use in our book, Kobe Bryant, people who didn't start from a position of having an advantage. They started from nothing. And the only way they were successful was through their ability to be relentless, enthusiastic, ambitious, and disciplined. And so this is about what does it mean to be those things. And then you go to our website, which is backinthegame247.com. And we've got some videos on there that you can even get additional stuff. And then we can come and, you know, people that like to buy our book, we like to come talk to the people that are reading it. So we're very excited about giving people hope, giving people, to me, it's pay it forward, because my dad was so supportive of me and helped me to do things and see things that most people don't Like, how would you go about, oh, I want to start a website that's going to later be, we're going to be the best thing covering the NBA. Wow, how do you do that? You focus on day by day what you're doing today, and then tomorrow, worry about tomorrow. If you start thinking about the big picture, you'll get lost. But step by step, how can you be successful in whatever field you're looking to do? This book is about step by step, really learning to take things, take one step at a time, to be successful one step at a time, and then always have the next goal in mind. Between the book, between the website, and then we'd love to come talk to you. We feel like we have a program that if you really genuinely want to be successful in a field, whatever your field is, even if it's the NBA, we can help you do that.
It's so neat to hear you talk about your relationship with your father, but I must share that you are one proud daddy, too. You have a daughter, Riley. Is she two now?
She will be two June 24th.
She waited
till the finals were over here in Dallas to be born, which I appreciated because obviously
we were very excited about that.
And then right after the finals ended, it was draft night, and she came like perfect.
Like Faith Hill sings, a baby changes everything. It's always wonderful to be a parent. And I will tell you, I was reading your book. I was actually going through it again on the golf course, and our oldest son, Stephen, picked it up. He looked on the back and he said, Mommy, is that Kurt Warner?
You don't know how many times I went to college in St. Louis, and Kurt Warner was the quarterback of the Rams at that time. And I don't know how many times people would walk up and ask me for an autograph. And I was like, especially because I had like Rams polos, you know, I'd be wearing something that said Rams on it. And just as a fan of the team, and mostly a fan of Kurt Warner, and I could ask for an autograph, and I'd be like, I'm not who you think I am, but there is a strike. I'm a little taller than he is, but it is a striking resemblance.
It was a great moment. Well, listen, congratulations on all of your success.
Thank you very much.
And you can check out this exclusive interview at eradiosports.com. We will see you again real soon.